G'day. I'm Lola Berry, nutritionist, author, actor, TV presenter, and professional oversharer. This podcast is all about celebrating failure because I believe it's a chance for us to learn, grow, and face our blind spots. Each week, I'll interview a different guest about their highs as well as their lows, all in a bid to inspire us to fearlessly fail. G'day. I have a mate on the pod today, and whenever I've got a mate on the pod, I get really nervous doing the intro. So this is my second take because I just effed up the other one. So here goes. Sally O'Neill, aka the Fit Foodie. She's a nutritionist. She's an incredible food stylist. She's a photographer and probably a million and one other things, but that's mainly what we really focus on, the nutrition and health part of her life here. Trigger warning, we do talk about orthorexia, and don't let that deter you though, because she talks about in such a positive way and how it's made her grow and learn and work on herself. Also, if you're a nutrition and health nerd, this episode is for you. We talk about the nitty gritty, what supplements Sally's passionate about. I've also even had a consult with her as a client, and Sally is my nutritionist, so I can vouch, she's awesome. I hope you love this chat. And yeah, here's a health nutrition 101 chat that I hope you love. Sally O'Neill, we've just had a little chinwag and catch up and all the good things.
All the good things.
I feel like if I don't hit record soon, I'm going to end up going, shit, we're going to miss the premiere because we won't have done the poddo.
5 hours later.
Right.
Good catch up though, babe.
I want to cover a bit of everything today. Yeah. So I have a fellow nutritionist in the Woo-hoo. Pod room with me. So I'm really pumped. I heard you be interviewed about all your favorite supplements. And I was like, I take that. Oh, I take that. And so I kind of want to pick your brains about what people should be taking. I know it's hard. Obviously, we can't prescribe anything, but just like it can get really overwhelming.
So overwhelming.
Even for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, holy shit, I'm rattling. I'm taking so much stuff. Yeah. And then I have to just like put it all aside for a week and reevaluate. So I cannot wait to talk to you about that stuff. But also you've had a really cool health journey, and I feel like our timelines are a bit similar where we both have struggled with certain things both personal and professional, you know, that have seeped into profession because we are in the health world.
Yeah.
So first things first, the accent gives it away. You're not from here.
I
love your accent.
Do you know, mate, I've tried to get rid of it 1,000 times.
No.
And I can't. I just won't leave me. It's for life. It's Yorkshire from the
UK. Yeah, nice.
And
no.
It's not even the nice end of England, you know.
No, it's but like that's what I like about it. It's like the Jamie Oliver.
It's the scruffy North End. And it's from, think like Billy Elliot, Mine in Town.
Yeah.
That's me, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Industry vibes.
I loved you. Even when you said yes to this podcast, I said to my boyfriend, Matt, and I was like, yes. Sally said, yes, we get her accent on the podcast too. So I love it. I've heard you say you don't love it, but, mate, I love it.
Thanks. I'm trying to pick up more Aussie slang as I go, but I've been here 11 years now and all I've got is Arvo and Avo, and that's about it.
I love how you say yogurt.
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 Yeah.
Yogurt.
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 Garage.
Garage. So fun.
Thanks.
So fun.
I'll try not to say those two words.
No, mate, say it as much as you want. So you've been in Australia for 11 years about
yes,
that.
Yes, almost 12.
Holy mac.
Wild.
You got here and you couldn't cook much. Is that true?
Couldn't cook a thing, actually. I could microwave the hell out of everything, but I couldn't boil an egg. I was 24 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Never boiled an egg.
Yeah.
Couldn't cook chicken. And actually, speaking of Jamie Oliver, he had like amazing ready meals in the UK and everything just came in a black box and I would just put it in
really?
The microwave. So shout out to Jamie for keeping me alive until I was 24. But beyond that, yeah, had absolutely zero cooking skills. So that's kind of the beginning of my health journey, was 24 years old, which is embarrassing.
I have to ask, is it true that your mum, if she'd make spag bol, would she put jam in
jam.
It?
Jam, what? Guys.
What?
Yeah, it's true. So it's honestly, I feel like we should get her on here and ask, because it's the one question that I get asked heaps. So apparently English people do this. The sweetness balances the savoury and it like brings out the flavour of the meat. So she puts jam in meaty things. to like
it makes
balance.
Sense. Like from a flavor perspective, that right. makes sense. Like you've seen people put a little bit of something sweet when you, or like even
it's
when
not
you're
only
having,
sugar though, right? Not jam.
Yeah, it's not usually jam. No, but think about when you're having chocolate. Like all the rage is like with salt.
Correct.
So
yeah.
I get
it's the balance, right? Of the salty sweet, and I get that, but the. Putting just pure sugary jam in bolognese is a bit random, to be honest. And
oh,
that
I
was her
it.
Speciality. And I obviously didn't know that stuff was going in my food, right? So I was a few extra kilos heavier than I needed to be when I was younger. Thanks,
oh,
Mum.
Isn't that part of your 20s, I yeah. feel? Okay. Well, for me anyway, I was like learning. So you're learning your whole body and
true.
Like what?
And paying no attention to it a lot of the time as well, weirdly.
Right.
Yeah.
So I did not know this about you, but you used to have panic attacks.
Heaps. So actually got passed down to me, I think, genetically from Mom. So she had generalized panic disorder and all sorts of mental health issues. And then, yeah, I had a lot of panic attacks, which started when I, for anybody who lives in the UK or has been there, at GCSEs, which I think is like your guys' HSC.
Oh,
kind
yeah,
of thing.
Got it. Yeah.
On
year
result,
12.
Right. Yes, exactly. Year 12. So got my results on that day. Went out for a few cheeky bevvies and had a massive panic attack and nearly ended up in hospital. I thought I was like been excuse me. Yeah. I thought I had been drugged in my drink.
Oh, like a date rape drink.
Like a date rape thing, yeah. And I was like, what's somebody's put something in my drink and my whole body was convulsing and I was like frothing at the mouth and it was just horrendous. And like mad palpitations and couldn't sleep and vomiting and everything. And then it continued on from there. Like they got less severe. The first one they always say is the worst. And then, but they were very frequent. And then I got put on Valium essentially.
Yeah.
So, but the caveat with that was if we put you on this really strong medication, like benzos, then you also need to go and see a therapist. And the therapist said to me, you need to go to the gym to burn off your excess adrenaline, to try and balance out the panic attacks, which was solid advice, I have to say, from the therapist. Lifestyle intervention. And I did that. And then that was the beginning of my relationship with the gym because I'd never been to one, but it really helped.
And now it's like one of your mega passions.
It's the only, I shouldn't say only, but it's
but
the one
love
thing.
It.
It's my mental health regulator.
Yeah.
It's my release. And some people are like, oh my God, the gym's awful. For me, it's almost like having a coffee in the morning. It's that like clarity and it brings me calm and just kind of sets me up for the day in a good headspace.
Totally.
So I do notice the days that I have a rest day and I feel a little bit kind of like, don't know if I feel as jazzed about today, which is interesting, right? Because you have to have rest days, but yeah, it is definitely my passion now, which is nice.
You're also a go, 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 A-type personality. And so I can see why, and as am I, like I can see why slowing down is like,
feels weird.
Do we want to do that right now? I get it. But then it's so necessary on every kind of level.
Yeah.
So is it true that like, okay, and I know I forgot to tell you, my brain's like a pinball, so I'll
I
just
love
go
it.
All over
I'm with
the
you.
Place. But you get to Australia and you're like, oh, I'm going to start doing some recipes, send them to my fam back home. And that is where literally the Fit Foodie blog began.
Right. So mate. In summary, what actually happened was I messaged my mom. I was in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I came out of Coles and was literally like having a bit of a panic attack about the fact that there was no microwave Jamie Oliver meals. And I came out and I'm on the phone to her and I'm like, Mom, I need you to send me some recipes. I'm literally going to starve. Like, or I'm going to eat cereal for the next year. Right.
Yeah.
And so she's like, cool, I'll send you like a stir fry and a bolognese and whatever. And when she sent the recipes over, that's when I saw that there's jam in the bolognese, right. To come full circle on that topic. And so I essentially what I call healthified the recipe. So just took out stuff that I thought was unnecessary. Right. And started cooking and actually started to lose weight unintentionally.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is weird. And so I then set up. I actually would email in recipes back to my mom saying, you know, you don't need the jam in this. Like, it's great without. And there became so many recipe exchanges back and forth over the next coming months that my then partner said, just put it all on a website, right? Online somewhere. So it's like a directory. And then when you want to search for stuff, you can find it again.
Ah.
What I didn't know was he'd set up a blog and that other people could see it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of panicked and he said to me, you know, it's not just your mum looking at this, because he had a look at the statistics for me on the back end, if anyone knows WordPress. He had a look and was like, there's people looking at it from France and Germany. Oh God, I better give it a name and start taking some pics. And so that's kind of how it was a really organic, weird process of setting up what I didn't actually realize was a blog, but is now the Fit Foodie blog.
And then you get a random LinkedIn message from Bauer.
Yes.
And you were like, hang on, these guys do like all the, what were they doing, all the Women's Weekly
books.
Yeah. But all the Lord and Jane stuff in the beginning too.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so I got a message probably about 2 years after I'd started the website, right? So to give the correct timeline. But there'd been a lot of Instagram kind of growth in that time.
We were early starters, weren't we?
Early adopters for sure. And so I think somebody from Bauer had seen that maybe, and then randomly of all platforms of social media connected with me on LinkedIn and said, hey, we want to have a meeting. And I kind of looked at it and was like, this has got to be spam, you know, like what? This is just not real. And I'll go in for a meeting, but I have a feeling they're just going to ask me to write maybe the intro to Woman's Weekly Cookbook because they don't really do anything else, right?
Yeah.
And then when I went in there, they got all Lorna Jane's books and said, well, this is pretty much what we want to do, but with your website, can we have all the images off your website and we'll just turn it into a book? So I was like trying to play it cool, like, yeah, sure, you can have all my images. I'll go home, send them all the images and say, right, off you go, create a book with it. Yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah, we just need the raw files, though, so we can edit it properly. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And turns out, for anyone who knows photography, it's like a very special file format that you have to shoot pics in for them to be printed. And I didn't have those because I had not set my camera properly because I didn't know anything about photography. And so they were completely unusable. So I said, look, give me a couple of weeks. I'm going to learn food photography properly and I'm going to rewrite all the recipes and do it like from scratch.
How's that for a timeline? Oh, give me a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you taught yourself off YouTube, is that right?
On YouTube, yeah.
I love this.
The school of YouTube gets you everywhere. So yeah, I learned food photography and styling off YouTube.
And luckily, you're amazing at it. You've done a Lola Coffee shoot recently
too. Yeah, it's my passion. It's so creative and fun and I get to eat all the stuff afterwards, which is pretty much everyone's dream, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Eating for a job.
Yeah, and you do fun stuff with all the plant-proof stuff as well. You do some really cool, I mean, you do loads of stuff, but I went on your agent's website and I was like, oh, my God, she does this. But how cool that, like, it's just really interesting about your. It shows a lot about your personality that you were like, give me 2 weeks. I'm going to train myself in a whole new skill set and I'll just get them straight back to you. Like, how amazing. And then did that become your first book? Is that what happened?
Yeah. So that was my first book with Bauer. I did, it was called Love, Move, Eat.
Yeah. I went to the book launch at the Ivy.
You did. I can't even remember wearing how a two long piece. Ago that was.
Do you remember you wearing a two-piece
Spell? Spell.
Red on
the
blonde.
The memory this woman has is incredible.
Yeah, I remember it because I had come in activewear and I remember there was like one or two others that were in activewear and I was
we
like,
we did a yoga class, didn't we? Or is that,
I don't did know. I make that up? No, I don't.
We were
giving
yoga mats away. That was for sure. It was a great launch.
Yeah, there were so
fun.
Many goodies. Great goodie bag. I remember.
Love that for us.
Because you then also had Fit Mixers?
I did. So partway through this journey, I kind of realized I wanted to start monetizing it and leave my corporate job, right? Because at the same time, I'm still doing my corporate job, which was through Medicare. And I was like a project manager doing some public facing stuff, which was fun in obesity prevention.
Yeah.
Then really wanted to make this a career, right? So I'm like, if I'm good enough to do a book, I'm good enough to make this into a job, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm like, how do I turn a website into a profitable business? Like, this is just not really a thing. So I thought, I'll create a physical product to sell and what can I make? So first of all, started going to Bondi farmers markets. Did it twice. It rained once. Second time I got caught by this old guy asking me all about the organic ingredients in like a $3 protein bowl. And I thought, I can't. This is just not what I want to do, right? So did it twice. I'm thinking, nah, I've got to scale this. Like, let's use your business brain. So I started putting all the ingredients in a bag and then just getting people to make them at home in the bags. And I ended up with, I think, 350 stores across ours in the end.
I used to be obsessed. Was there a cookie dough one?
I used to send them to you all the time. Yeah, cookie dough was the bomb. It was all like cashew meal and cacao nibs and stuff. It was pretty
I just couldn't
obsessed.
Control myself though. I remember I'd have like the whole go in one shebang.
Yeah, and there was like four serves or something in a bag. Anyway, they were delicious, guys, and it was not good for my waistline. So sold that, actually. So I had that business for a while and realized that product-based business was not my passion and education and kind of motivating people was.
Yeah.
So it was a great journey and like a beautiful thing to do, but just didn't serve me in the long run. So sold that to a woman in Canada randomly.
Cool.
Yeah, that's fine, thanks. And so, yeah, ended up then doing another book.
What I was about to say, talking about the next book, because that's with a different publishing house. This was Murdoch. So did you notice a difference jumping from publishing houses?
Definitely. Different distribution network. Murdoch, God love Bauer, they were amazing, but Bauer were very niche in the kind of, I guess, Women's Weekly space, you know, and that's what they'd known a lot. And I was a bit of a leap of faith going into a bit of a different category. So I then, I went to Murdoch, who had done many, many similar lifestyle books like the one that I was about to bring out. And they really got my vision. And you'll know, right? You're the queen of books. Don't know what you're on now. 11, 12?
11.
Oh, good woman.
But no. Your books were beautiful, but they're both beautiful
books.
Bless
you, darling. They got my vision, right? So when you go in there and you do the book pitch, as you know, you have to like kind of explain your plan to the people and just get them to understand what you're really trying to achieve. Because it's a work of art when it's in your own hands, right? And you have creative direction.
Totally.
So, they really got the representation of me and the message that I wanted to get out there. And I was like, right, this is the team I need. It became a project. I think we did it in 4 months from the get-go of like, yes, we're saying yes to this. We're going to do a print run of this many, whatever. Off you go. 90 recipes, I think it was. And shoot style and send it all back to us. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
And then when did the book come out? It's like 12. For me, it's always about 12 months. So you sign your deal and it comes out 12 months later.
Correct. Yeah. Same so signed you. It, had 4 months to produce it. And then they went away, did a couple of months of editing.
Yeah.
And then I think it's about 6 months from them sending the finalized PDF off to the print house. They print it, ship it back. There's Chinese New Year in between. Yeah. It gets printed in China. It's takes forever. And then they've got to find the right time to launch it, of course. So you don't want to be in competition with other people who are doing similar books.
Totally.
Tricky.
Yeah. And it's all changed now because of COVID as well. Like,
of course, supply.
The book land has completely changed. And yeah, but that's a whole other topic.
It's a beast.
So, okay. So you've got this really successful career. You've got, you know, you're at a stage in your life where you're like, yes, I can fully focus on the stuff that I love, photography, the food styling, but also your books. Where does the orthorexia part of your journey fit in? Because it was about 27, weren't you?
Good question. Yeah, I was 27. So it basically started, I don't know if I should say that it started from me arriving in Australia, because I think that's a bit extreme, but the journey began of me kind of becoming really interested in health food when I started to lose weight without intentionally trying, and was like, this is, if I just eat healthy, my body does what it's supposed to, right? And is it a comfortable, happy and healthy weight? And I think I'd eaten junk consistently for the 24 years prior, right?
So easy in
England.
Like, yeah,
we love it.
All those, like, also it's cold, but all those, I used to always go down to like the little, your version of like a quickie milk bar-y thing.
Yeah.
And the friggin' chocolate bars, mate, that was so good. And then you go to like cake shops everywhere, pies.
Everywhere, bakeries on every corner, right?
I had my first treacle, like a treacle pie, and Aussies are like, a what? Is that like a type of fat or something? And I was like, I don't know what it is.
Treacle tarts are the bomb.
So what, it's like a sweetener.
It's like golden treacle.
Yeah,
It's like, it looks like honey,
And
then they like caramelize it, make it thicker and stick it in pastry, of all things. It's delicious.
Yeah. So good.
Couldn't make it any unhealthier.
But I can see why you would be used to eating like that delicious
stuff.
Food. Yeah. I cut you off though. So keep going about where you're at.
So went from that like space in food to healthier stuff in Oz. The food here is so fresh and delicious. Like it's second to none around the world, I think. And so it was a lot easier to eat healthy food here for sure, and it's warmer and everybody's outside and be more active and stuff. And so my interest sparked there, but because my body did change naturally, I got loads of compliments on social media, right, which is the dopamine hit now that we know. And I was like, yes, this is great. I love this. And so I continued to like, oh, I think I might go to the gym a couple of extra, you know, sessions a week. And then it became, oh, well, if I just don't have brekkie, then, you know, I seem to propel my results. And if I do this and I walk this many steps and blah, blah, and it just snowballed, right? And it just got worse. And meanwhile, so I think I was 56 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds and whatever anymore. But I dropped
120, I reckon.
About 120, I think. Yeah. And I dropped quickly to 48 kilos.
Mm.
So very low for my height.
Yeah.
Lost my periods, hair fell out.
Yeah.
As soon as I lost my periods, I was like, oh, something off. And the period, so the time frame of that was probably about 6 to 7 months. So it wasn't pretty a long quick. Time for me to drop that volume away.
Yeah.
So yeah, went to a GP and said, something not right. I'm not getting my periods anymore. And I'm really lethargic and a bit moody and a bit sad and don't know what's going on. And she said, step on the scales. And I've still got like this traumatic experience of like really clear vision of what happened. But I stepped on the scales and she was like, yeah, you're anorexic. Straight off the bat, like no sugar coating, no anything. And she goes, you need to start doing some yoga instead of going to the gym and just eat more.
That was the prescription.
And then was literally like, next. So I was mortified and obviously thinking like, what is she possibly talking about? I'm not hiding my food. I'm not scared of food. Like I'm eating. I don't understand this. So I went away and did some research and found a GP who was in the same area but specialised in mental health conditions. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go and see her for a second opinion.
Yeah.
Went to her, explained the scenario, and she said, first of all, give me the prior GP's details because she's getting reported, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then second of all, she said, what I actually think is going on is something called orthorexia, and it's not a it's not a desire to be thin. It's a desire to have the healthiest diet or be the healthiest person you can be, but to the point where it's unbalanced. And so it's the only thing you can think about. It's the only thing that you strive to have in your life.
Mm.
And it becomes disruptive, right? So then you can't eat out with your friends. You can't go not do normal amounts of exercise. Everything's in its extreme. And so, yes, I was eating, but I would have like huge salads with one egg, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
And
konjac noodles.
Oh, the konjac noodles got blended into everything, mate.
I heard you put them in a smoothie.
In smoothies. Yeah. So if for people who don't know, konjac noodles are like this weird glucomen. Yes. Can't say it. Like a gelatinous fiber that fills people up.
Hardly zero calories, pretty much.
Don't recommend it because there's no nutritional value.
And zero flavor.
Yeah,
they're
nothing.
Not fun. I went through a phase of trying to do it as like literally having that as pasta and then putting like a handmade like basil-y thing on top. And my boyfriend would look at me and he's like, that looks disgusting.
It's like glue.
Yeah. And I found the happy meme. There are so, because I'm gluten free.
Right.
There are actually so many great gluten, like lentil pastas and mung bean pastas. They're at least you're getting some nutritional value from.
Correct. Right. That's the thing. So nutrient devoid and filling up a lot of my diet. Right.
Yeah.
So because they were fibrous, I was like, oh, this is great. It's going to fill me up for hours. Mm. So I'd throw them in a blender and then blend the like gluey fiber into my shake, my protein shake in the morning. So it'd fill me up for hours.
Wow.
So yeah, just like obsessive, right? And it became that the thoughts kind of took over my entire day of like, how many calories are in this? How long will it take for me to burn off? If I go to the supermarket, can I go to one that's further away so I burn more calories?
Yeah.
It just was like insane.
I used to be able to like look at something and be like, carrot, 74.
Yeah.
Like I could look at
it's a mass.
Egg minus the yolk makes it 17, like or whatever it was. I mean, you've got such a good knowledge of all that stuff because you do track macros, don't you?
I do. I on and off. Yeah, I do. And I think I do it more of an education to make sure that I get enough volume of the things that I need now.
Yeah.
Right. Even though I'm pretty well versed after doing a nutrition degree.
Yeah.
I still wonder about, am I getting enough fiber? You know,
yeah.
Am I getting enough vitamin C, iron, blah, blah, blah. And also if I've got particular, got like aesthetic goals or strength goals, which is more what I'm focused on now. I actually went through a period of bulking.
Yeah, I followed.
Thanks, babes. which was a completely, obviously the opposite of orthorexia, right? Of like eating in surplus in a structured way to be able to gain weight. And it's so uncomfortable as a woman to be like, this is my mission now. I'm going to put on weight past the point of being comfortable, like not just a happy body weight, but beyond that. And it's what bodybuilders do, right? Traditional bulking and cutting. But there is a bit of science behind the reason why I did that, to gain more muscle. And so, yeah, went through that and was uncomfortable, to be honest, by the end of it. I did it for a year and was like, it sounds like a heap of fun, guys, but it really was hard work. Like, because you're trying to do it from a nutritious perspective. I'm not just going to go to Macca's and smash a load of food, you know?
Can you share? Sorry, I'm taking you back a little bit, but can you share? So you know you've got orthorexia by the stage and you're working with, I think, a psychotherapist by the sounds of stuff.
Yeah.
And She talked me through the peanut butter binge where, fully relate to this.
Right, yeah. So I was triggered by certain things. So when I went and had my first appointment, the conversation was essentially went a bit like this. Like, you've got permission to eat. You need to eat. And wherever the calories come from and in whatever volume, you need to do that right now. Otherwise, you're going to end up in hospital. So that was the strong messaging that I got. And I think I kind of took that and ran with it in a really probably not healthy way. But at the time it was necessary, right? So I think because my body was craving calories, I was really bothered or interested in foods that were really, really calorically dense.
Yeah.
So avocado, salmon. I was just like, couldn't get enough of salmon and peanut butter, right? Mm. And so, which is weird because I never even liked peanut butter before I came to Australia. Mm. And then I became obsessed with it. But I would sit with a jar of peanut butter in the house and could not stop thinking about it until it was fully eaten. Mm. So then I would sit with the whole thing and I would just spoon it mindlessly into my mouth, like the whole jar.
Yeah, but so many people would relate to this. I've heard other people do it, yeah.
And I'd get halfway through and be like, I'm so uncomfortable and I don't even like the flavour of this now, but I just need to keep going. And it was like an animal instinct of I can't rationalise what my primitive self is trying to do right now. So
was that like kind of exposure therapy? Was that kind of like...
Right, so there's two options. And I say this now to my clients, right, because I've been on the other side of it, is that... when you have a food like that is triggering in the sense that it triggers an overeating episode, you can go two ways about it. And I always prefer the exposure therapy option, right? But one of them is you just never come into contact with that thing again, right? So I guess like if you're a gambler, never go into a casino, right?
Yeah.
Get it. But with food, it's tricky because most of the time you're going to end up somehow running into a food that you consider to be a trigger food. So the other option is exposure therapy, where it's like go and buy 15 tubs of the thing that's bothering you and keep it in the house and see what happens. And that, to hear that as somebody who's like super concerned about the health, is really scary. Like, it's terrifying. Yeah. Like, if I have 15 jars of peanut butter in the house, I'm probably going to eat about 6 in one go.
Yeah.
But then the theory is you'll do it, you'll feel so ill that you'll never want to touch it again. And the desire to continue to eat it will have completely gone. See, it's like if someone said, smoke 20 packets of cigarettes.
Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah, it did. But it still took me a long time to be okay with having it in the house and eating it in a moderate portion. And I think, to be honest, nuts for everybody. Most of the time, it's one of those things that's really tricky to stop eating because they're moorish and palatable.
Yeah, that pleasure spot, right, with the fat and the salt and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so interesting. It's so nice hearing you talk about this at the other side because I also have a history of eating disorder stuff and I think you and I were similar ages and so... Yeah. But I've always felt safe around you if we've ever caught up and I'll be like, look, I'm just going to have to get a coffee today. You know, some days I've sat with you and be like, I just got to get... And there's been days where, I don't know if you remember, like in Melbs and stuff where you're like, hey, you eat, I don't feel like it right now. And 100%. You've just got to...
Yeah.
It depends where you are in your journey, but it's really nice to like have this discussion, you know, as someone
from
that
a healthy place.
Yeah,
right?
And then it's come out the other side and you speak about it with such clarity, which is really, really, it's really nice and very inspiring. Like, there are certain things that I know I can't have in the house still.
Sure.
Like, if we get chocolate, Matt's like, who are you kidding, Lola? That'll be gone tonight. We'll eat it together, mindfully, but like, I can't.
And I think that's okay though, because I think I have to check in with myself sometimes, because sometimes, yes, it's okay to overeat things, you know, it's not necessarily an eating disorder trait. And it's one of those things that everybody will do from time to time. And we do have an emotional connection with food, particularly as women, and we struggle with hormone balance and stuff, you know.
Oh my goodness, like 3 days out to the period, I'm like,
it's game over, mate.
Right?
It's game over.
And for me, I found the trick with that is just I up my fats like massively, like avo a day, don't care. Throw the olive oil on there, don't care. Give me the Sammy, don't care. Yeah. Like, I just go in with fat. Otherwise, I'm going to go for the sugar. And the bad, refined.
Yeah.
Not that bad's the right word for it, but I am not
the less
someone,
nutritious options.
Yeah. I'm just not someone that can have a little bit of something that, yeah, especially sugar, for me, I'm like, it's fucking laced with something else. I can't stop.
It's whereas delicious.
I'd rather go fats because I just know that that's going to satiate me and, yeah, whatnot. Oh my goodness, there is so much I want to talk to you about. Can we quickly talk? I feel very lucky having nutritionists on the other side of this podcast. And I kind of want to know, if you don't mind, like, what's in Sal's supplement cupboard? Like, what do you love to take?
Many things.
We both love collagen, don't we?
I definitely do collagen.
In your coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, baby. So I do it in a few things, actually. So shall I give you my top three? Because there's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, go top three.
I'm rattling, right? Like, I rattle like you. So number one, we actually just spoke about this before the poddy. Yeah. There's something called PHGG, which stands for partially hydrolyzed guar gum. Now, it's not the guar gum that people get in the supermarket before you rush out and buy any, yeah, because that's the stuff that they put in gluten-free food and it's, yeah, just a thickener, right? Yeah. It's not the same thing. Also known as sun fiber, I think, if you're looking for it on the shelves. So it's an incredible fiber that is really good for many things, right? But mostly intestinal health.
You said, is this what you were saying to your, you were talking about this off pod, but you were telling it to your, I think at uni, like someone at uni, you were like, hey, I've been putting this, my clients with it and it's been really helpful.
Yeah, I spoke to my supervisor and was like, I've used it in a lady who had ulcerative colitis and she had it really severely and she's done a 180 on a UC, which is incredible. So, and as far as cheapness and availability go, it's really like easy to get hold of.
Health store?
Anyway, literally, but it's just so funny that it's not mainstream because it's just such a basic supplement. It's like going and buying, what's the other fiber you can get in the supermarket? Metamucil or whatever. Yeah. It's like that stuff. But it's just it's a different type of fiber that's more well tolerated and has, so it's prebiotic as most fibers are.
So it's like a powder?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly like collagen. So it's white and flavourless and light in texture.
Yeah.
It doesn't go gluey in water, which is kind of nice.
Correct.
And it works for constipation and diarrhoea.
Yeah.
So some fibres don't do that. This one particularly does. It goes a bit like school glue inside the system. And then it kind of either lubricates or bulks at the same, it kind of does both at the same time. And so you can pass stool a lot more effectively and you feel really empty afterwards and light, which is quite nice.
So good.
Amazing for intestinal health, amazing for just feeling a bit more satiated, good for blood sugar regulation, and great for people with leaky gut, right? Because it helps the short chain fatty acids that it gets broken down into, help to kind of fix the intestinal lining. So it's bloody great.
I'm gonna get some.
They do it. I've struggled with IBS for so long. I've had so many supplements prescribed to me. And then when I came across it in study, I was like, how is this not mainstream? It's absolutely insane.
Oh my God, I'm going to literally get some myself.
Please, so, I should have bought your bloody tub,
Is it listed as sun fiber or is it listed as
So you can search partially hydrolyzed guar gum or PHGG.
Yeah.
The brand name that you can find it under is sun fiber. So I think Thorn Research do one and it's called sun fiber.
Yeah.
Both interchangeable words, right? So one of them is just like more the technical term of the supplement. Both of them do the same thing. So check it out.
Oh.
Big fan. So I have that in my coffee in the morning because it actually slows down the rate of absorption of caffeine.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah.
So you don't get the bump, which is nice. So I do that. Fish oil.
Yeah.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
I work out a lot, right? So lots of inflammation in my body. So great anti-inflammatory, which everybody knows. Also amazing for mental health.
Yeah.
Which is so, I don't know why fish oil is really underrated. It's great, obviously, for dementia and things, it's great, brain health. But from an anxiety and depression perspective, lots of scientific research. In fact, it's one of the only whole food kind of supplements we can use for mental health, right? So 1 gram of EPA is the equivalent in clinical trials as effective as Prozac.
I think this is so
cool. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
However, a lot of commercial supplements don't have a gram of EPA per dose, mm-hmm. right? It's normally in the range of like 500 grams. So it's half of what you probably need for mental health support. Mm-hmm. And obviously not in place of Prozac. If you've ever been prescribed Prozac, it needs to be, and you can use it in conjunction with mental health stuff as well. So that's great. There's evidence behind it. So I take it for that because, you know, I've had a history of anxiety and whatnot, and there's depression in my family and eating disorder and all that jazz. I'm like, absolutely. It's great for your skin. It's good for your immunity. Like, why am I not taking this stuff?
Yeah.
So good quality one. There's a brand called Nordic Naturals. I have nothing to do with them. It's just one that all the practitioners use. And you can get it without prescription. I think they have it in the US, but it's pure
you
and
can
it's
get it here
strong.
Too. And yeah, you can do liquid. Is it liquid?
You can get a liquid as well if people like that. I'm can't deal with the taste. But or caps.
Oh, so good.
So that's a good one. Good one. And then what else do I do that's high? I would say NAC.
Yes, I'm so excited to hear you do that. Go.
It stands for N-acetylcysteine, right? And it goes into the body and it gets turned into something called glutathione, which essentially is the body's strongest, most powerful antioxidant. So it's used in millions of different processes in the body. It basically helps you function better in all aspects.
Yeah.
Works on brain health, works on liver health, works on like just organ health in general. It's fantastic. It also upregulates liver enzymes, right? And the rate at which we filter the blood through the liver. So it pulls out toxins faster. So if you have a paracetamol overdose, it's what they give you in hospital.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't expect to know that. Like, I didn't expect
interesting,
that fact.
Right, yeah, that they use it in hospitals. But is also available as a off-the-shelf sop.
Yeah.
And so great for, it's actually great for immunity. It's great for lung health.
Heaps people have been using it for COVID, right?
Right. Yeah. Questionable. And it's funny because it stops proliferation of bacteria in the lungs.
Yeah.
And so it has been used for treatment of pneumonia, but then they've been doing clinical trials to see if it works against COVID. I'll let everybody else do the research. Just look on PubMed. But essentially there is a lot of evidence to back it up for that. And I think a lot of people caught onto that and went and bought it, and it sold out pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, we've got it at home. We take it.
Yeah, and it's so good. If you take it just for general health, right?
Give me all the antioxidants.
Right, take it.
Can you explain the difference between that and taking glutathione though? Because you can buy that in supplement form.
You can. So glutathione's great. Weirdly enough, your body actually deals better with NAC because it converts NAC into glutathione and it creates more glutathione than if you just take the straight up glutathione.
Which is interesting because we've always thought that you want to take like the closest thing to it, like
the bioidentical
5-HTP instead of tryptophan to upregulate serotonin. So I get it. It's so interesting when I heard you say that. I was like, hot damn, I had no idea that it was better.
Right. And again, like if you can only get hold of glutathione, do that. But it just means you'd probably have to do more to get the same effects, right? Whereas NAC, you can take less and it still be as effective.
I love that you're like, whereas NAC, I love that you said
NAC.
I could talk to you all day long. I'm so mindful of time, but I could talk to you all day long about supplements and stuff. I love that you've broken it down. Do you take magnesium?
Yeah, I do. I take a bisglycinate, which I bloody love.
What does that mean?
It's a type of magnesium. Yeah. Actually, I'll just say, because I'm so obsessed with SOPs, right? Yeah. And the supplement industry in particular, and the fact that there's so many bad pieces of information about there about what we should take and what we shouldn't. I actually started a podcast and I've ended it now, but
I've been listening to it all morning, mate.
You're the best. I did a podcast called Wellness Fact or Fiction and I basically pulled really common supplements, diets and detox teas and whatnot. Yeah. And each episode pulled them apart with science and said, this is actually what the science says, whether it's effective, whether it's not. And kind of what's been said in popular culture about the supplement, right? So it's been a fascinating journey for me because I got to do so much research on all the supplements about like what you should take when and all that kind of thing. So there's an episode on magnesium coming back to that. And there's actually 15 different types of magnesium available on the market.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff that you can get off the shelf is chelate, which is fine. And like you can have a listen because different things do different kind of different things. So it might be one's better for sleep, one's better for restless legs, one causes looser stools, etc. Right. But bisglycinate for me, it's actually one, I don't know if you listen to Huberman Lab.
Yes, I do.
Amazing health podcast.
Yeah.
So Andrew Huberman takes bisglycinate and he got me onto it. And since swapping from a chelate, I've noticed a big difference in how sore my muscles are.
Oh.
Or not, I should say.
Oh, my goodness. Cool.
Right. Yeah. And it's a win because I started CrossFit a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And it's so hard on your body.
Yeah.
And doing all sorts of gymnastics and hanging from bars and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, and I wasn't sore through any of it because I was taking bisglycinate. That's what I put it down to.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Oh, you've given me a shopping list today.
There you go.
Honestly.
There's actually, so the brand that I take, it's actually a prescription only one that obviously I can get hold of, but it's called Carmex. It's by Metagenics.
Okay.
That's got the bisglycinate in that got I take, it. But it's good for nervous system as well.
Yeah, well,
magnesium does.
Yeah, I take Mag at night because I sleep so good with it. Yes. But also, like, if you saw, I'm a bit more of a yogas and Pilates girl as opposed to gym, but you still get effing sore.
Absolutely. And so, like, and everybody needs nervous system support, right? Plus, the amount of magnesium we get through our food chain is so minimal because soils are depleted that it's necessary. It's one of the one thing really that people do need to supplement that we can't get from food.
What's your advice for people that are listening? They're like, okay, you've inspired me. I want to get on track with my health. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get the right supplements, or I'm going to see a nutritionist and really take control of my health, or at least get a better understanding of my health, should I say? What would your advice, because it can be really overwhelming, like, should people go see a nutritionist, or how do people kind of like start to understand their health better?
That's such a good question. And I think it's different for I think the answer is different for everyone, right? One of the key things that I learned for my health was to learn to understand how to read nutrition label on food.
Yeah.
Because we are presented with so many packaged food products that aren't what I would consider food, right?
Yeah.
It's got a wrapper on it, it's got health claims, and it's got more than one ingredient. It's a food product, right? Mm-hmm. And so trying to understand and decipher that away from the marketing garbage that goes on the front has changed my ability to understand what I'm putting into my body and making conscious choice about that. Whereas prior to that, I wasn't making conscious choice. I was just picking up what looked yummy. So I think
marketing's hard though. Like, so even hard for me, like, I landed here yesterday. I had like a 20-minute window between podcasts. I ran and just got a protein bar that I knew there was numbers and stuff in it. But I was like, it's going to give me 20 grams of protein.
Yeah,
there's no sugar in it. And I just need energy to be able to do these podcasts. But like, the other side of me is like, Lola, be a detective. Like,
But that's the thing. So I'm all for being a detective, right? And I always say, be the scientist of your own body.
I love that.
As a nutritionist, I can tell you what to do, but I don't know your individual biofeedback, right? So you really need to tune into the signals that your body send, and it's different for everyone. Mm. But my kind of ethos with food now is 80% whole foods, 20% soul foods, which is what a lot of people are kind of pushing now. And I just find it so helpful for moving away from that binge mentality of like, I'm just going to be good all week and then go out on the weekend and get wasted and eat whatever. It's a really natural, nice approach to kind of, it's almost the exposure therapy of, I'm going to have a few treats a day, and it might be a protein bar. Right? I'm not going to look at the blue ingredients. As long as it's fairly a decent choice and it's delicious, that's my soul food for the day. Yes, it's got sugar alcohols in, you know, whatever, fine. But you're making a conscious choice that that's your treat food for the day. And, you know, you can probably have another couple of squares of chocolate before bed, but you're not then going to go and eat a donut and go and have a bag of fish and chips and something else. It's like, that's my one thing where it's like, okay, it's not perfect nutrition, but it doesn't need to be all the time. And I think that's where we go wrong, because we kick yourself for
the guilt,
having a bar of chocolate. But you can have that bar of chocolate and the rest of the day eat well.
Yeah.
You know? And you should.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that. And that's the flexibility around diet that I think we miss. We're very all or nothing in an approach. And that's when we fall off the wagon, because we don't really work as all or nothing as humans.
Totally. Another thing that I love that you're passionate about is kind of like the data, like get your bloods done once every six months. And
please do that.
It is confronting though, because I recently moved to Byron Bay and I went to the doctor for a skin check because I'm very, very, very pale but love the sunshine. And I had my skin check and I was like, he's like, okay, you're all done. Like, I'll see you in 12 months. And I was like, can I get a blood test? And he's like, what for? And I was like,
wow.
I was like, I said, I live half in America. When I'm in Australia, I love to get on top of my health and just check in. I said, can we just do like a full
blood count?
Yeah. And he goes, don't you want a female? And I was like, No, I don't need a female doctor for this.
Interesting.
I just want to know like what my liver's doing, what my kidneys are doing, how's iron, and like just understand where my body's at. And I got the blood test, like the little piece of paper where you go, and it was like three things. It was like cholesterol. I think it was like cholesterol, hemoglobin. Like, it was just like basic.
Real basic.
Really. And I was like, and if something failed, anyway, I was like, okay, let's go pathology, get the, and she effed up both my veins.
Oh,
and
yuck.
Like,
it happens to me every time. I'm like a pin cushion when I walk out.
Yeah. Well, she couldn't even get anything. Oh, she was like, your veins are too small. You'll have to go to someone else. And I call my mum bawling because it's pretty, it's not fun when they're
They're
waving a needle in your vein, trying to get it in, poking
and
around.
And then they're like, oh, it's just shrunk. It's moved. You're like, no, just do your job.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
I call my
mum. Use the children needle if you need to.
I call my mum and she's like, no, 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 you don't have small veins. There's actually no way of knowing that unless we literally opened you up. And she goes, you just need to make sure a senior nurse is doing it next time. But so I was really off put. And then I said, I just want to understand. Like, I love being healthy. I love understanding vitality. And
right.
And it was, I just loved hearing that you're all about the data. You want to know. Like,
absolutely.
And so would you say, like, stay on track of, like, your own.
Getting your bloods done regularly. Yeah. Because I think, so your bloods, I always say your bloods and your period are your health report card.
Oh,
right?
I like that.
So once you've got those two things and you've tracked them or you've got an understanding of them and you've really tuned into it as a woman, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you really have a good sense of what's going on with your body and if anything's off. Because your period often is one of the first things to get, like, to go off, right? Like, by few days or you skip one or something or it's heavier or there's clots.
So many people aren't though. Like when I got to go with Matt, he's like, you're the first girl that has a period tracker that I've ever dated in her phone. I was like, am I the oldest girl maybe that you've dated? Because I mean, this is ever. And funny, when I came back from America after being there for 6 months to Byron, my cycle's like bang on 28 to 30 days. Kind of like it sits there every time. I know how long it like all the works. And it was day 45 and I was flipping out. And my mum's like, just go to a doctor, get a blood test just to be sure. And I was like peeing on 6 every second day. And I was like, no, I'm going. I went to an acupuncturist.
How
the next day, got my period.
Wow.
How cool.
Amazing.
And she was like, you just needed to realign your body. But you're so right. Your period is such a great little.
It's a great signaler.
Cool. Yeah. And you get it for free once a month. It'll tell you what's going on.
That one's free. You lucky thing. Not. And then bloods. I say get them done every 3 months. There's no reason why you can't go and ask for that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, your body changes all the time, right? You're constantly generating new cells.
If you hear us pause just then, I just knocked my whole bottle of water over. Just
amazing. Into the sneakers.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Just seriously go and get your bloods done. There's no reason why you can't get it done on Medicare. Just go and ask. You want a full blood panel, you know, and that includes vitamin D, includes B12.
Yes.
So
you have to ask for that. They're not naturally going to give you.
So it should come as standard. Should come as standard. The additional things are things like thyroid.
Yeah.
If you want anything special testing, then yeah, that won't be a bit picky. But in general, you should be able to get zinc and copper. Mm-hmm. So zinc is pretty important for immunity, you know, skin health, all that jazz.
It's like the traffic control of your body. We
you
use
got
it for
it.
Friggin' everything, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, it's bloody great. So have a look at your zinc levels. Have a look at your iron levels, obviously. People who are fatigued all the time, look at your iron, your vitamin D and your B12, right? Mm. B12 often is low in people who don't eat a lot of meat.
Mm.
And it can sometimes be supplemented if you need to do that. But it's also a big marker of kind of whether your energy levels are where they should be. And then another thing I would be looking at is liver enzymes. So if you're the too low or the too high, and you'll see that from the reference ranges, which is a whole other story.
Yeah.
We won't go into that. But if you're out on your liver enzymes, it's good to have a look and just see like what's going on. Because that's your toxin removal from your body, essentially, right? So that's good to look at.
And just on the reference, I know I won't make you dive into the reference ranges thing, but basically what a doctor thinks is reference range versus a naturopath or nutritionist.
Is different.
They're quite different. So if you go to an integrative doctor or a naturopath or a nutritionist, you're probably going to get a little bit of a different
reading.
Yeah.
Correct. And we tend to look at the whole picture and go and alongside symptoms, right? Because that's what we want to do and go, let's just understand the whole health card rather than an individual line. The other thing with reference ranges, just to explain that quickly, is that the reference ranges are created from healthy, what we consider to be normal people in the world, right? So we take lots of data from people who are both well and unwell, who aren't optimally healthy, and say that the average of those people is what's normal, right? So it's not an optimal, it's a normal, and we don't necessarily want what's normal based on the average population, right?
Totally.
Because we've got a massive obesity epidemic yeah. and lots of chronic health problems. And so that to us isn't the ideal scenario, yeah. right? So it's along with symptoms, let's have a look. If something's kind of subclinical, so, you know, it might be sitting on the borderline of a reference range, then we might have another look and say, you know, what are your symptoms, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the reference range debate.
Ah. You've got me so passionate about nutrition. Don't. Keep going.
Last thing I would just yeah. say on your bloods to really look out for that yeah. people can look at is something called CRP. And you'll be yes. familiar with this, yes. right? But it stands for C-reactive protein.
Yeah.
And it's a really simple marker of inflammation in the body, right? So if you've got elevated CRP, you've got more inflammation than your body would normally have.
Yeah.
It's annoyingly doesn't tell you where in the body that inflammation is, but it's just like a systemic thing.
Yeah.
And great marker, right? Really interesting to look at for all sorts of things, you know, like if you've got inflammatory bowel disease or yeah. you've got, you know, or you exercise a lot, yeah. anything like that. It's just good to see where your inflammation levels are at because we know inflammation stems into a lot of chronic disease. And it's just a good signaler, you know? So that's another thing that I tend to jump to when I'm looking at bloods.
You have got me so, so excited about nutrition again because as you know, I've stepped away a little bit from yeah. it and it's so nice to have someone that is just so passionate about health and nutrition. And I had all these other grand plans to talk to you about other things, but I'm so wrapped that we've geeked out over
hugely. I health love it.
And supplements and I cannot wait to see what is next for you. I know you're working on something that's a bit harsh, huh?
Yeah, I'm just doing it. I'm going to start doing some group coaching, which is awesome. Fun because I've been doing a lot of one-on-one nutrition clients. And while it's amazing, I'm only helping one person at a time. And yeah. I do find that about 90% of the women that are coming through are wanting weight loss, right? And the fundamental science behind weight loss is the same for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's teaching things like thermic effective feeding and yeah. why protein's so important and you know, total daily energy expenditure and where that comes from and how important exercise is or not, how it, you know, how not important it is. And there's a lot of fundamental things that can be taught en masse. So coming up shortly, I'm about 50% of the way through writing it. There's going to be a group coaching thing that's more accessible financially for people as well.
Unreal. So by the time this comes out, we're recording a little in advance. So by the time this comes out,
it should be ready to go.
Ooh, so good.
Pressure. I like it.
If it is, it will be in the show notes. Absolutely. If not, it will not be far off. Sally O'Neill, you are absolutely phenomenal and it has been an real honour to have you on the pod.
Thank you so much. Absolute pleasure to hang out with you, mate. It's been too long.
Thank you. So good. I love that.
Yay!
That's a wrap on another episode of Fearlessly Failing. As always, thank you to our guests. And let's continue the conversation on Instagram. I'm at Yummo Lolaberry. This poddy, my word for podcast, is available on all streaming platforms. I'd love it if you could subscribe, rate, and comment. And of course, spread the love.